let's cover some news and some other items we need to cover. So this will be news and economics again. And of course, economics is going to be in the midst of everything we're doing. But I have some comments about the Bible from those in New Zealand and Australia and South Africa. Helmut Berger, the other day, he got the Bibles and he opened up one of them, took it out of the box, and was just so taken back by it, he put it back in the box, and then he took it out later, and he sent a short email, received the Bibles, fantastic, and he was very happy to get them. We also, and he's going to mail them out to all the brethren down there, rather than us try and mail them from here. Plus, one advantage was, all of the Bibles were shipped the shipping was paid for in the price of the Bibles. So we sent them to South Africa, to Australia, and then Australia sent them on to New Zealand. And I've gotten some emails, some I don't have here, but let me read you a couple of them. And here's from Steve and Jenny Goff down in Waihai, New Zealand. They take care of the mailings and everything down there. Said, "Dear Fred, we're very grateful for the new Bible. It's awesome, and everybody here is really chuffed about it." Now, chuffed is a New Zealand term which means excited, chuffed about it. And if you do well, they don't say, "That's a good job." They say, "Good on you." Good on you. Good on you, mate. Then he said, "I received a thank you letter from a German lady this week to whom I had sent the occult book, which we're, I think, next week sending it off for printing of the second edition. And that's going to read really well. And it's going to be, as I mentioned before, but I'll mention it again, it is going to be the single most important, how shall we say, evangelic tool or evangelistic tool that you can give to new people, because it contains, especially those who are Protestants or Catholics, it contains what they need to know concerning Christianity in the Western world. Plus the Bible answer for all the holy days. Plus now we have an in-depth appendix covering all of Paul's difficult to understand scriptures concerning the laws and commandments. And we cover Romans 3, Romans 6, Romans 7, Romans 10, Romans 14, Galatians 1, 2, 3, 4, and a little bit of 5, Ephesians 2, and Colossians 2. She said she had never heard of these things before and wanted to know if that book or other books had been translated into German. No, not yet. She also asked if we were SDAs and where we meet, and wanted to hear from us again. So that's a good example of that book, see, because that is a complete package. And the reason we added the how to understand Paul's difficult to understand scriptures, because those who received it who are not in the church went through it, took it to their Sunday-keeping minister, and he says, "Oh, well, Paul's scriptures say we don't have to follow that." So now, here's everything with the right explanations of it. And Dolores just got done editing through it. So I sent her a reply along with the book, The Day Jesus the Christ Died. So we'll see what develops. She lives about a two-hour drive from us. I also got, I didn't bring it, another email from that, concerning that, but anyway, all positive things. Here's one here from, New Zealand, another one from New Zealand. "My husband Ken and I just received our Bibles from your hand." Well, no, not quite. My hand didn't quite reach all the way down to Australia, but I know what she means. This is going to be a real study help for both of us. We're truly grateful for the work you put together in making the Bible in original order available to all of us. Thank you so much for this precious gift. I was doing some research on Google Bible in its original order and came across Dr. T.V. Gomen. He had a well-written article on the subject and a picture of your New Testament in its original order on his website. So, you know, you never know how far things go. He mentioned that he did not know at the time of a Bible with both the Old and New Testament in its proper order. I did let him know that you had just completed the work and that it was available via cbcg.org. So what we did, because we're getting quite a few requests, we took and modified what is on the back of the presentation box about this Bible, why this Bible, and then we had a little letter and then a coupon where they could write in and they could send in a $50 donation and a little check boxes, would you like to be on the mailing list, yes or no? So about 50% of the people are saying, yes, put us on the mailing list, so that's good. So we don't know where everything is going to go, but I have perceived this, that people are more receptive to the whole Bible rather than just the New Testament, which seems a little strange, but I guess that's the way it goes. So here's some from Helmut Berger that he wrote just before he got the Bible, and he was thinking about it. He said, the other day I was thinking about the coming new Bible and about the fact that it is in its original order, both Old Testament and New Testament, and the importance of that taken by itself. I took down my Hebrew Bible, and while reminding myself of the original order of the Old Testament, it just struck me that, in its original order, the Old Testament ends up with four books that describes the story of the kings of God's people and their pathetic efforts to reign. Obviously, some of them really tried, David, for instance. However, the whole system of kings was Israel's carnal wish, which God granted. See, now you have to be careful what you ask God, because if you're so insistent to God to fulfill your lust and your desire above God, he will give it to you, and then you suffer the results of it. But he even said to the children of Israel, as we covered about what authority is there in the New Testament Church of God, that he even told them, even with the king, if you would keep my commandments, I will still bless you. But they didn't do it. When I have the whole Bible in its original order, and this is what struck me as wonderful, is that when you turn the page over from 2 Chronicles to Matthew, what follows is a history or genealogy of, or what follows is in the New Testament is the history of the birth, life, death, crucifixion, resurrection, and everlasting life of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. God's way versus man's way. It starts directly after the history of the miserable failure of carnal man's carnal kings. So I could say that Matthew and the other Gospels could be called Third Kings, King of Kings, and a natural continuation of Kings and Chronicles. How absolutely wonderful. Praise God, for he is great. Just thought I had to share this with someone. Christian love, Helmut Berger. So we will be getting many, many more of those, and we hope that it will be successful in reaching many people outside of the church. Now, I need to mention that in every Bible, you get a how to mark your Bible. And this makes, as my wife Dolores suggested and uses, she uses it to underline so she gets a straight line. She says it works very well. So just a suggestion to pass on to you. All right. Now, here's something interesting. This has to do with a specific neurological disease at a pork processing plant in Austin, Minnesota. Now, as I read this, I am thinking about what I saw on the special Eat Everything channel. I think it's on channel 45. And here this guy, it showed all of them cooking the pork. It showed the pork products. And one of the favorite things that they have in Mexico is deep fried pork stomachs. And he was eating that, said, "Oh, this is delicious. It's wonderful." Okay. Another one showed a whole pork head all roasted. And then what they do, they pull off the skin and then they just pull off the things and, you know, eat it. It's kind of like the pig knuckles. They're down there by the feet. And they have little pus ducts down there by the beginning of the hoof where the pus from inside the system can get out. See, God made pigs to eat things to get rid of stuff that's not good for human beings. Yeah, they take pig skin and they deep fry it. Get that even a snack here in America. Okay? Now, pork rind, yes. You know what they say with the swine? They eat everything but the oink. All right, here's a report. Austin pork plant workers contract a mysterious illness after slaughtering pigs. A rare neurological disease has struck workers at a pork plant in Austin, Minnesota, sparking an investigation into what may have caused the outbreak. 11 employees of the quality pork processors, ooh, this is supposed to be good, of the quality pork processors plant have contracted chronic inflammatory demyelination polyneuropathy, CIDP, since last winter, suffering peripheral nervous system problems, including weak muscles, cramps, pain, tingling, and stiffness, probably caused from getting the juices on them, plus the parasites and trichinosis that they have. Comment was made that there is a parasite which swine have, that's why they are called schwein, that if it gets on the skin, it burrows in and the parasite goes straight to the brain. And lots of times people have brain disease, heart disease, other diseases, and they really have parasitical infections. Now let me read on here. And suffering the peripheral nervous system problems include muscle weakness, cramps, pain, tingling, and stiffness. Well, I wonder if it settles in the brain, if it also affects them mentally. I started with a Charlie horse in my calf that wouldn't go away, said Susan Cruz, one of the first workers to be affected. Then my hands and feet got sore, cold and numb. I had perfect health before. Now she must use a walker to move around, is easily fatigued, and is unable to lift heavy objects. Well, she should probably get on a real vigorous parasite cleansing program. But you see, very few of the MDs will do that for you. And I think it's interesting that many of you just do a simple comparison with those who are called health food fanatics. Some are quacks, some are not. But Jack LaLanne, he's 96 now. He's up and about, exercises every morning at 5 o'clock, makes his own juices and everything. And you compare that to the average doctor who's supposed to be the great know-it-all of everything that there is in medicine. And the average age of physicians when they die is 57.5, which then tells you the information they have, excluding all of the nutritional things that they ought to know, means that they are leaving out some very, very important things. And just like with fighting cancer, there are many, many, many good programs for fighting cancer, and it all gets back to good, wholesome, natural food that you have to get back to. Oh, but you see, they can't make money on that. One of them is called the Budvik program, where one of the main things that they do in addition to juices and natural organic foods is that they show the formula how to blend flaxseed oil with cottage cheese. And it really, really helps get rid of cancer. in addition to other things. But you see, the doctors can't patent that, and the drug companies can't make money on it, see? So you need to understand that a lot of these things are based upon money and not health. If they can help you, and there's a certain place where medical doctors can help you, there's a certain place where chiropractors can help you, but my chiropractor that I went to help get my lower back in didn't help me, so the way that he should, he could have told me to do certain exercises to strengthen my lower back, and my lower back would stay in, but he didn't do that, and so I put on a lower back brace, and I wore it too tight, and it cut the blood off to my hips, and that's why I have artificial hips now. See, so you need to make yourself aware of as many health things as you can, and especially in the days that we are living in. And just understand this. If you eat clean meats and do not eat unclean meats, but if you eat like the rest of the world and all of the snack foods and everything that they have, don't be surprised if your health is not as good as it should be, or that you may even contract something very serious because you're not really being aware of taking care of yourself the way that you ought to. And one of the biggest things in helping the whole body is exercise. Exercise. And I found through the years, and even with myself, when I didn't take care of myself, when I just sat around, didn't exercise, that's when I got in trouble health-wise. See, regardless of your age, you could exercise. If nothing else, have a rocking chair while you're watching TV, rock back and forth very vigorously, and this is going to get your body moving, and it's going to give you some exercise that you wouldn't do otherwise. Now, let's continue on. She was a worker at the day kill area in the factory carving meat out of the heads of dead pigs. So the parasite was in the brains of the pigs, got into her. Her work site was right next to a compressed air hose that was installed shortly before the outbreak began. The hose was used to remove brain material from slaughtered pigs. Sounds delicious, doesn't it? CIDP is believed to be the result from an autoimmune response in which the body's immune system attacks the myelin sheath that insulates the nerves of the peripheral nervous system. This leads to a wide variety of symptoms of typical disease, but it is unknown what exactly triggers this immune response. Simple. Use hogs to eat garbage, and when they reach a certain age, just kill them and burn them. Don't eat them. But you see, oh, we can't do that because of the economy. Oh my, Iowa would almost go broke. And Nebraska. All right? Okay. In the quality pork case, that's an ironic name, isn't it? Quality pork. Guaranteed to give you insanity and disease through their luscious parasites that infect you. Some health experts have suspected that the air compressor hose may have exposed workers to the pulverized blood and brain tissue, triggering the autoimmune reaction, but this hypothesis is still preliminary. Isn't it interesting how the experts can never figure out what goes on? The Minnesota Department of Health has instigated an investigation into the case of the outbreak at the pork plant, but anticipates that it will be months before it has any conclusion. The outbreak was first noticed by occupational health nurses at the pork plant who contacted the local doctors when a large number of workers showed up with a strange set of neurological systems. The nurses were contacted by the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, where the CIDP experts were able to identify the disease. God has it very simple. You shall not eat the swine because it has divided hooves but does not chew the cud. Comment was made that when you have Alzheimer's disease, they could actually see holes in it. Now, there are many things that can cause it. Number one, parasites. Number two, too much aluminum. Number three, a non-fat diet, because you need omega-3 for the brain to work. You need right oils in your system. And if you eat margarine, processed food, and you're on a low-fat diet, or no-fat diet, you're just setting yourself up potentially for Alzheimer's. Now, maybe you might not get it, but the threshold of different people's varies, so you need to be careful with that. And in the book, Change Your Brain, Change Your Life, Dr. Amen says that you have to feed your brain. You have to have the essential oils, and you also have to train your brain. And when you get down to it, God's way of prayer, study, living right is the perfect recipe that Dr. Amen has come up with to keep the brain working properly. So God's way is the best. Now, God did not give us all sorts of complicated books to tell us about it. He said, pray every day, leave everything in my hands and have faith, and that helps mentally and emotionally. Study every day because you're exercising the mind on continuous education. Use the Holy Spirit of God to develop character because that is developing the mind even more. And all of those things, they can come to in a carnal way to understand to a certain point, but very few of them understand about the Spirit of man or the Holy Spirit of God, and combined together, that's how we receive eternal life, you see. But will they check the Bible and keep it in its simplicity? No, no, no. Man has got to, you know, experiment and have scientific knowledge and all of these things, which some of it is not necessarily bad. But here's some scientific knowledge. Where are men going? And what are they doing? And how perverse will they become? Now, we know that before the flood, it says that the imagination of the thoughts of the heart of everyone was only evil continually. Now, you think about that. Even many of the so-called good thoughts that people have really are not based on the true good which comes from God, but the perceived good which comes from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Scientifically, what are they doing to the whole creation? And you need to ask the question, why did God have to destroy all human life, all animal life, all bird life, except those that he brought to the ark? And why did it say that Noah was perfect in his generations? That meant the physical generation. Well, we're told by Jesus that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Let me read you something that they are doing reproductively that is very perverse and very profound and absolutely against God. So scientists cannot save mankind. Scholars cannot bring us the true knowledge. Only God can. So here's what they're doing. This is going to shock you. Mice replace men as sperm donors, from correspondent in San Paulo. And the article is, if you want to check it up, it is on www.news.com.au/story/0.12359.239798309830-400.00html. Now, if that's gone too fast, then you have to slow it down and go back and write it out yourself if you want to go on the computer and check it out. All right, here are the 5 points. Viable human sperm produced from mice. Are men really necessary anymore? Men over 40, less fertile. New pill doubles pregnancy rates. In depth, more health and living news. Mice have been used to make human sperm, researchers say. The discovery shows that animals can be used as surrogate sperm producers for men who cannot produce viable sperm of their own. Again, why can they not be fertile? God says don't commit adultery, don't commit fornication, don't commit homosexuality. And this is free speech for all of those of you who believe it's hate speech. And this is love speech from God. He says, don't do it, and he will bless you. And if you keep his commandments, he will multiply you. No problem with fertility. So instead of repentance, man's way is, well, let's figure out what mice can do for us. All right? The research could, however, prove controversial because it gives a separate species an initial role in human reproduction. Our data indicates that the mouse can yield sperm cells, said Irina Kirkus of the Roger Abdu-Masi Clinic and Research Center in São Paulo, Brazil. Dr. Kirkus, whose earlier fertility research has been published in the scientific journal Nature, will online her findings this week at the annual meeting of the European Society of Human Reproduction and Embryologic and Embryology in Barcelona, Spain. In an advanced summary, Dr. Kirkus describes how she and her colleagues first extracted dental pulp from the tooth of a male donor, so they don't even need to get male sperm to start with. Just take a little bit of the pulp out of the inside of your tooth. The pulp found in the soft material in the center of the tooth is rich in stem cells. These are the precursors of almost every type of cell in the body with the power to develop into anything from heart muscle to brain cells. See, what Satan, notice all the research today that Satan is inspiring, it is to get into the human mind so that he can change it and control it. And as we've said for years concerning the mark of the beast, it is not for buying and selling only. It is for total control. In the movie Enemy of the State, it showed how that they took a man's electronic identification, everything he owned electronically, all of his bank accounts, and wiped it out, and because he was an enemy of the state. And they also could track him almost wherever he went. So if you have an opportunity to watch that movie, watch it, because it will tell you a great deal as to what is going to happen down the road. Continuing now with the article, Dr. Kirkus then isolated the stem cells from the dental pulp and injected them into the testes of live male mice. The mice were killed after the injection and their testes examined. Dr. Kirkus found the human stem cells had successfully differentiated into cells that were producing viable sperm. What did Satan say? You shall become like God. That's Satan's way. Now think of this. You have a family that has a genealogy and the genetic set where they produce boys who then, when they become men, develop into fantastic basketball players. Now, we really need them to jump higher. So how about if we take and modify the kangaroo leg gene and splice it into the human sperm gene at the right place, and then we guarantee you to have an absolute superstar who could earn hundreds of millions of dollars in his lifetime. Now, as parents, would you like to share in that income and that money? Would be very easy to do. Just step into our laboratory and we'll take care of it for you. You know they would do it. Yeah, in a heartbeat, yes. Comment was made that they've experimented using bone marrow and to make sperm, but when they get into the bone marrow of women, they can't make sperm because they do not have the Y chromosome. See, God has he gave the Y chromosome to men, and women cannot reproduce the Y chromosome. So we would end up with a complete women's lib world, only women around, no men. That would make some fanatical feminist jump for joy. Okay. Now let's get to some economics. Let's continue on with some economic news, which is all not good news. And yesterday, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, now you've heard of the term, but you may not know what they are. They are a huge buyer of mortgages, which is this. A bank will make a mortgage, loan the money, sell it to Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae, and then they will give the money back to the bank so the bank can then make another loan. And they hold trillions of dollars of mortgages. And they have been losing their capital standing, and there has been a run on them, and they have run the stock down to almost pennies. And so they're going to have to bail them out. Also, a bank collapsed yesterday, which they did not announce until early this morning, IndyMac in Southern California. The Fed seized it, and if you have $100,000 or more in the bank, you have lost everything above $100,000. They only guarantee to $100,000. Now, they expect more of the smaller banks to go under, and all of it comes back to the subprime problem that they had, and the gambling, as I mentioned in my last letter, that the elite mega financial speculators in the world are driving a lot of these things to drive prices down, to make money as they go down, to drive prices up, to make money when they go up. And for example, if you're watching the commodities, wheat is down, soybean is down, corn is down. Well, they're getting close to harvesting some of it. Yet they made the money when they shot it way up. So now they're making money with it going down. And so this whole economic system is really a very satanic, rotten system that God is going to absolutely wipe away when Jesus Christ returns. Now, concerning the economic meltdown, the delusional complacency that the worst is behind us is rapidly melting away, and the risk of another run against systemically important broker-dealers is at hand. Now the delusional complacency in the markets is melting away, or better, going bust. With a 3% fall in U.S. equity prices on Thursday, the stock market prices were well below their bottoms of mid-March peak of the financial panic and back to levels not seen since the fall of 2006. Also, the credit spreads and interbank spreads are rising again toward their peaks, meaning they're running out of money and running out of capital. Thus, the liquidity and credit crunch is significantly worsening. As we argued previously, the contraction will lead to a sharp rise in credit losses well beyond subprime, from subprime to near prime to commercial real estate, to credit cards, student loans, auto loans, leverage loans that finance reckless leverage buyouts, to municipal bonds, and further losses from downgrades on monoline insurers to industrial and commercial loans, to corporate bonds, to CDS losses. Then it lists corporations that will do it. So there are trillions and trillions and trillions that are going to go down. So even large banks and broker-dealers are now at risk, while the tail risk of such meltdown has been reduced, the view that systemically important broker dealers that now have access, and it lists the funds they have, don't risk a panic triggered by a run on their liabilities is false. Several of them can still collapse, and that means Morgan Stanley, that means Citibank, that means Bank of America, that means Countrywide Financial, etc. So it's not over yet. Comment was made, well, it's the war in Iran or Iraq that's doing it. No, that is a very small factor of it. The cost of the war is running about $160 billion a year right now. But do you know how much we are paying out for imported oil per year right now? $786 billion a year, which is historically the largest wealth transfer in the history of the world, going to foreign countries who basically hate us and are our enemies. So what we need to do is step back and understand this. You cannot solve spiritual problems by political or economic means. We are suffering from sin. Until there's a repentance from these sins, there is going to be no turnaround. Maybe temporarily, because God has more things to do, but there is not going to be a turnaround from it at all. You can't say, okay, let's go and correct the banking system. The whole banking system is based on the entirely wrong premise. You can't correct it. You can only adjust it to make it less vicious. Same way with the immigration problem. You can only correct it so far with laws. But you see, until the nation repents of rejecting God, kicking them out of the government, kicking them out of the schools, kicking them out of of every institution that we have, promoting homosexuality, promoting lying, cheating, stealing, there is going to be no change. And people don't realize that. Doesn't matter if you vote for McCain or Obama, if you don't believe in God, all your confidence in those men, it's just going to blow up in your face. And if Obama is elected, we are in deep, instant trouble, because he knows nothing about anything, and his advisors will be the Marxists within America, and they will socialize everything that there is. They've already announced they want to socialize all the oil companies. They'll just move offshore. Will have absolutely no effect. The comment was made, if we went into Iraq to get the oil, why don't we get the oil? That we can't get it right away, but that's not the reason for. The reason for going into Iraq was that they have seen that the Muslims are so radical, and unless you somehow can modernize them, that they are going to destroy the Western civilization, which they are already doing in Britain, by the way. And so that's the main reason why they moved in, to get rid of Saddam Hussein. Oil will be a second periphery that will come from it. While the initial thing for going in there was to try and create democracy in the Middle East. You have to create some kind of different government than the bloody governments that they had and the way that they think if you're going to institute a new world order, which they are going to. So this indicates that even though we're suffering a lot of things, there are still a lot of things yet to come, and there's still a lot more things that we are going to suffer, and still a lot more things to happen. And this is a step along the way, number one, to bring the nation down to a point of trouble, to see if they will repent, to see if they will seek God. Now, some will, some won't. It hasn't resulted just in a lot of people and a waste of money. There are some things that look like there are some beginnings of changes over there. But whatever changes are being made are in a way of modifying the behavior of the Muslim nations so that they can fit into a modern new world order. That's what it's for. And, of course, God shows in the prophecies that that's going to happen. So it's going to happen. Now, at the same time, Israel has to come down. The strangers or foreigners within us have to rise up very high. So it's a process. We are right now past the tipping point where we are being brought down. And even if we recover, we're never going to recover to the level we need to. Not with a transfer of $746 billion a year going to the oil producers. And then if Obama is elected, he won't drill. He won't use coal. He won't use the shale oil. And so what is he? Is he, as some people have said, coming on the scene to really bring us down? We don't know. Number one, we don't know the ultimate severity of God's correction, and number two, we don't know the ultimate deception of the political scam that is coming with this election. And we have heard, and I've given sermons on it, that there's coming a time for Mexamericana, the North American Union. There's coming a time for the Euro, not the Euro, but the Amero. So is this where it's leading to? It sounds like it. If the whole financial system in America collapses, they can't just let it sit idle. They've got to do something. Now, you look back at what happened when the Soviet Union collapsed. It took them about 8 or 10 years to recover from it. They had to get a new currency, had to do a lot of things government-wise. But have they recovered now? Yes. So we're not coming to an end. The tribulation is not coming as a result of it within the next few years. These are part of the sorrows that are ongoing until we reach the time of the tribulation. Well, anyway, sorry to be a bearer of bad news in some ways, but if you don't know what's going on, then when it hits you, then you won't realize what's occurring. So this is the end of the news and discussion. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org. Org.